6 music.
Today from 4, Steve Lamacq. At 1, Nimone. Right now, Ian Lee in for George Lamb.
Yes, whatever, it's Coldplay, and,
Well, I've got to be careful, the longer I'm here, the more I just start doing, like, proper DJ things, like, saying who the hell that was. You know who they were, you recognise their nasal tones, of course you do, you don't need me to tell you, you're sick music listeners, for goodness sakes. Ian Lee, filling in for George Lamb, there's only another day to go after this, isn't there?
Mm.
5 days a week?
Mm.
How do people have proper jobs? I can't do it. I'm just not cut out for this. Sorry for anyone who's got a real job in the real world who listens to me whinging because I'm doing 3 hours a day, 5 days in a row. I can't handle it. Flipping. Imagine if I worked in an office. What a whinger. Ellie's not here. You've forgotten who she is, haven't you? So have I. She's not here. She's still ill, is she? Still ill?
Yeah.
I'm ill, but I'm here. I turned up. So we have Will instead. Good morning, Will.
Good morning.
A very handsome young gentleman there. I've noticed this before. Never mentioned it to you because I don't know you well enough. But I like your haircut there.
Thank you very much.
I saw that as well.
Yeah, it's good. It's good hair, isn't it?
Mm.
Use the microphone. It's a little trick in radio. We talk into these, amplifies it, puts it through people's radios. But it's good hair.
Well, try it yourself. It's short down the sides.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
I like it.
Wow.
Try it yourself. Not like your hair, Chris. What have you done?
Oh yeah, I don't know.
Chris is very excited because he's picked up a 6 music pen that he thinks somehow he's going to impress the ladies. I don't know how you got that idea from.
It's vintage.
It's vintage.
It's vintage.
It's the vintage. It's Claire's here, good morning.
Hello.
Is that your banana?
No, that's not.
Steady now. Come on, it's too early in the morning for filth like that. So, on the show today, about, I don't know, 11:30, 20 to 12, we've got the Eagles of Death Metal, who I've not heard, but I've had many, many people say to me that they're brilliant.
They are.
Good. And Chris and Will getting all excited, working out who was coming in and who wasn't coming in. You even knew their names and stuff.
Mm,
wow.
Stuff.
That's very exciting. It's like rock music. Is it going to be rock? Is it rock music? It's rock music they're going to be playing. Not Roxy music. They're not coming in, thank God. But the Eagles of Death Metal are. And we've got a lady coming in to talk about TV.
Yes,
can you
Julia.
Tell? Julia. Let me write her name down.
Julia Rayside.
Rayside. I like the name. Okay, you can tell I don't know what I'm doing and how much preparation has gone into the show. Right, today we are going to try and find... We're going to make up the ugliest band in pop using various different people. I vote Lady Gaga as the singer. She's in the paper again with her bits and pieces out, this time with her and Paris Hilton. I've never seen two more useless people in my life. But we'll talk about that a bit later on. His kiss. If only it were Kiss. It's Prince. Oh, I was tricked by the capital letters on the screen. Oh!
Kiss.
So very exciting yesterday. My friend Shinomi came over from Japan. Oh, what fun I had seeing London through the eyes of a tourist. We went on the London Eye at night time.
Oh.
It was brilliant. Someone sent me a stroppy email yesterday. Don't go on London, it's a load of rubbish. It was brilliant. And because it was really cold, and it's, what month are we in? November? Are we in November?
January.
Because it's January, there was no one there. So we were on there with 4-5 other people in our own little pod, me and this Japanese girl, going around, and I was going, thing is, I don't know that much about London. So, right, well, there's Big Ben. Think that's the Houses of Parliament. That's St Paul's. And I didn't know anything else to point out to her, so I felt very, very bad. But we did all the touristy stuff. We went on that, and at the end, the lady goes, you'll be having your picture taken shortly. So we went and stood in the picture, and we did the V sign, the victory V signs that the Japanese do all the time, and went and bought a picture. Took her in black taxis, double-decker bus. She was loving it.
Oh.
It turns out, hanging out as a tourist in London is the best thing in the world. We went to Chinatown, had a Chinese meal. In Chinatown. Right. Who'd have thunk it? And this morning, my girlfriend's taken her to see the changing of the guard. It's brilliant.
Oh.
And then I think we're off to the British Museum and stuff. So there you go.
Chris? Education.
What did you mutter under your breath there, young man?
I didn't say under my
breath. I told Chris off. I actually told him off.
Did you?
Yes, I did. because his trousers are around his ankles. I could see his bum. I said, I don't want to see that at 10 to 10 in the morning. What's a belt for, Chris?
Looking nice.
Looking nice. Yeah. It's hold your trousers up. I didn't make him.
Back in the olden days.
When I hang out with you, I feel so old. I do feel like a proper old man.
Why? Right? I'm actually 32.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you stop doodling when you're talking to
me? You've intimidated me now. You're getting me into trouble. I'm nervous.
And you can spit that chewing gum out as well, young man.
Oh, okay. I've got gum for later as well. Yeah, it's really fruity. Do you want some?
Is he coming on to you?
I think we're flirting, which is fine because my missus ain't listening today. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. You're too young for me. So today, well, you can. I know it's a slightly London thing, and we're in a national station. But if you want to tell me any touristy things I should do, or if you've ever done, if you've ever been a tourist, oh yes,
enough
with the hands up already.
Hi.
Yes,
I was going to say there maybe places that you haven't been to. I've never been to the Lake District.
Oh, have you not?
No.
I went, I say that, I don't think I've been, actually. I know, I think I went once. Jeez, man, this cough medicine is, this is good stuff. I think I went once to the lake.
How can you think?
It was a long time ago, there was a lake there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that necessarily means it's the Lake District. Have you been to the Cotswolds?
No.
Oh, it's good. Sort of. We went to a trout farm. And I didn't really like it. But it's weird because you can feed the trout and they come out of the water to get the food you give them.
Was Roger Daltrey there?
No, he wasn't. But the lady said, lady recognised me off the telly. She went, "Do you want a free trout?" I went, I don't eat fish. She went, "I've got to have a trout anyway." So I had to take this trout. So I'm on holiday. I've got a trout. I've got no intention of ever eating it or cooking it. Anywhere you've never been, Chris, that you perhaps you should have been.
Oh, right.
School, maybe?
Here in the room.
The bathroom?
No, I don't think I'm quite here. I haven't been anywhere, really. I'm boring. Aberdeen in London, in Cambridge.
Oh, was that what you studied? It's not what you studied, is it, Cambridge?
Yes. No.
Will, anywhere?
Anywhere I should have been. I don't know, maybe.
Have you been to St. Paul's Cathedral?
No, I haven't.
I
walk past it every day.
Listen, we've got to be careful being London-centric, but if go to St. Paul's Cathedral. Listen, if there are places in London, you're listening, you think I should go to take my Japanese friend, let me know. And also, if there are places around the country that you live next door to that's a massive, like, tourist thing and you've never been to, can you text in and shame yourself up for us, please? 64046, george.6music@bbc.co.uk. We will do the ugliest band in pop. We'll do that a little bit later on, but first of all, let's have some of this.
BBC. Six Music.
The texts and emails have started to arrive. Thank you for that. Thrifty Beatnik says, "Ian, I live opposite Durham Castle and Cathedral. I can see it from my window. It's England's only World Heritage site. £7 to get in. No thanks." And then he adds a PS. Let's see if we can work out. I can't work out if this is an insult or what's the opposite of an insult? Compliment, that's it, yes. So I'm so not with it at all today. It's going to be a slow show. P.S. I work 3 hours a day too due to silly, trendy people liking vintage clothing so much. And with you on, it's much slower.
I take that as an insult.
Yeah. It is an insult, isn't it? For me to slow time down. Time flies when you're having fun. So listening to me, it slows down. Here we go. Andy in Manchester says, I've been to New York 7 times. I still haven't been to the Statue of Liberty or the Empire State Building. I went to a Bulgarian disco, though. That's it. If you've ever been abroad and ignored the obvious, the tourist attractions. We went to Paris and we went and saw the painting of the late, the Mona Lisa. And there's a statue. I've had far too much cough medicine. There's a statue.
Mm.
What's the statue there? I'm not looking at us, Chris. Will, the statue there. There's a famous statue in the same place where they have the Mona Lisa. This is going to be a real slow one today.
Is it the one without arms?
The Venus de Milo, is that it? Is that a statue?
That is a statue. Yeah, yeah.
Or is that an album?
Probably both.
That's an album by Spinal Tap. So it's anyway, I can't remember what the point of that story was. We'll move on. Ian, I think that I do apologise, dear listener. I recommend going to Radio 2 now. I believe Ken Bruce is on. He's in this building somewhere. That excites me more than it should.
Mammy.
He's got a lovely voice.
Oh, he's got a voice like Scottish chocolate.
Yeah.
I always think the Tate Modern is a good place for a laugh in London, says Chasey, and Stew in Stoke says, Stoke-on-Trent, heritage, potteries, mining, canals, industry, none of it's left. It's a hole. Don't bother coming here as a tourist, says Stew in Stoke. bit down on the old Stoke there, isn't he? Can't be that bad. And Emma in Portugal says, just to let you know, we've got a frog in our roof between the insulation and the tiles. I just turned up Prince and he seemed to like it, croaking along with it. Thanks for that.
Is that a tourist attraction?
Yeah, the frog in Portugal. It's good to know that, that's going on. 64046 is the text. george.6music@bbc.co.uk. Have you ever been somewhere in the world or do you live near a tourist attraction but you ain't never been to see it? The show, give me until about 11:30, right? We'll pick up the pace then, I promise. We've got a band coming in and everything. It'll be well good. It's quite a lot to ask them to wait for an hour and 10 minutes, though, isn't it? For me to pick up speed. I'll see what I can do. I'll work on it during the ting-tings.
BBC Six Music. Ian Lee.
So a friend of mine went to Egypt and didn't see any pyramids. That's strange, isn't it? That's a waste of Egypt. It's absolutely true. A friend of mine went to Egypt. Why would I lie to you? Why would I lie?
For entertainment value.
Well, yes, a good reason, actually. I should must lie for entertainment.
Not on the BBC.
No, not on the BBC. Have you not heard of the Ofcom? Have you not heard of the Blue Peter Cat? For goodness sakes, we can't do those things now. But yes, he went to Egypt, didn't see any pyramids or the Sphinx. Well, I think he just got very, very drunk all the time in that kind of way that people do. But that's, you know, that's ridiculous, isn't it? We got to... Oh, it's all kicked off. We're having a posh argument on Six Music. Earlier on, who was it? It was Thrifty Beatnik said that Durham Castle or something was the only World Heritage Site. Oh, no, it's not. Not according to Dr. Tim Utteridge from the Royal Botanic Gardens in Kew. We're having a posh argument. This is brilliant. Only World Heritage Site, piffle paff. The Royal Botanic Gardens Kew is a World Heritage Site. Dr. Tim Utteridge. Well, here you go. You get a different class of listener at the BBC, don't you? 64046. Ever been somewhere in the world and not seen its most famous tourist attraction? We will create the ugliest band in pop as well. After this, time for the Six Music News.
On digital radio and online. BBC Six Music.
Call for under 15s to be alcohol free. Shall hit by downturn and too many cannot read or write.
And in Six Music News, more closures for Zevi, Lily back on stage and music for National Geographic.
Six Music. BBC News at 10:30, I'm Harvey Cook.
That's Six Music News. Your next bulletin is at 11:30.
Six Music.
BBC Six Music.
Can I just say, who was that newsreader, the gentleman newsreader that was doing news there?
Harvey.
He made it sound sexy, didn't he? Mm. Even that story about illiteracy and people not being able to read and write, he just gave it a certain je ne sais quoi. That man is fantastic. More of him, please. To say we've had a text from Miss Loopy. Ian, if you want to liven up the show, stick some Neil Diamond on, Desiree or Forever in Blue Jeans, you decide. Oh man, I wish I could. I wish I could. Instead, Lily Allen.
Ian Lee on BBC Six Music.
Can I just ask? Okay, we know there are more than two World Heritage Sites in the country. The whole, all the texts and the emails, just people sending in. Will has sent in a whole map of World Heritage Sites. Big Al has listed. We know. Okay, that's. Can we move on from that now, please? I wish I'd never flipping mentioned it. Julia Rayside, is that your name?
That's my name.
Nice to meet you.
Hey, thanks very much. Nice to meet you.
The look of terror when you came into the little room beside
terror.
The studio. It was like, I don't know anybody in here.
It was
what's
confusion.
Going on?
It was like one show had been lifted out by aliens and you'd been dropped in.
Must be a relief to see that George Lamb isn't here today. I've worked with George. What a bully.
Bully,
isn't he?
He's really horrible.
Hogging the limelight, won't shut up, doesn't give anyone any
time. I can say it now because I'm safe from his flying fist, but he's quite abusive.
Yeah, isn't he? And he does do the kick in and throw in.
Yeah.
On the radio, all light and sweetness off the air. Oh,
whenever the mics go down, he punches me full in the face, just as a matter of course.
That's George Lamb. I hope the Daily Mail are listening. I hope they pick up on this one. Let's get the flack off Ross and get it on
Lamb. And I'm a woman, and I'm pregnant. I'm just saying.
He's back next week.
It is going to be Christ. Daily Mail story.
He won't be listening, it's fine.
George Lamb, it's pregnant lady in BBC scandal. BBC gets even worse. Anyway, you, I believe, your job...
My job.
...is watching the television.
Yes, it is.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
It is genuinely brilliant. It doesn't pay as well as you think, but the benefits are elsewhere, as in I can sit
down. So you can watch as much Cash in the Attic, Diagnosis Murder, all the good stuff, Car Booty...
Well, Well, I mean, to be honest, in the mornings I'm watching tapes of things that are on in the evenings.
But
so generally I tend to miss daytime TV.
So when do you watch Jeremy Kyle on ITV2 in the afternoon?
I don't watch him ever because I'd like to keep my lunch down.
Well, thanks for coming in. How dare you? I went through a terrible, terrible thing of Sky Plusing, series linking Jeremy Kyle. And so at the weekend I'd have like five in
Horrible.
A row. Yeah, and then I did feel like I felt abused. I felt dirty.
No, I did. Once I watched four in a row because I was going to be on a radio show with Derek Draper, who's Jeremy Kyle's friend, who he always sends whenever there's criticism in the press about Jeremy Kyle. He'll send Derek Draper onto radio show to argue his corner because he's like an
ex-spin doctor. Wasn't Derek Draper in Please, Sir?
No. He was an ex-spin doctor for the Labour Party.
Oh, okay.
Now Derek Draper's this kind of like therapist guy. But he's the one that always ends up on the radio defending Jeremy Kyle. So I thought I'd better watch a bunch of Jeremy Kyle's, and I was nearly sick.
Yeah.
It just gives you a headache.
It's good, isn't it? It's good though, isn't it?
No.
What I like about it, we'll talk about what you came in for in a second. What I like about it is when he comes out at the start and he does that really insincere shaking hands with the audience. Hi, mate. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for coming. Anyway, on today's show, who's the daddy?
Oh, he's just a nasty, nasty man.
Well, can I just say,
in your opinion,
Jeremy Kyle is a very professional, excellent broadcaster, just to get us out of
there. He is very professional, a professional.
Let's move on from Jeremy Kyle because we're going to get in trouble. It is the Daily Mail. What have you brought in for us?
Well, I haven't physically brought them in because they were too big to get to the studio, but I brought Charles Darwin and some ladies, so I could tell you about Charles Darwin first.
We had a text about Charles Darwin yesterday.
Really?
I won't say what it says. We didn't mention Charles Darwin.
We're not saying happy birthday, Charles Darwin.
We got
200.
We didn't mention him, and we got a very rude text about Charles Darwin. I'll tell you off air what it said.
Yes, no, yes. I'm fascinated to know.
Yes,
just random insult.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Well, there are actually some interviews in the press with David Attenborough last week. Sir David Attenborough. Even though he's sort of officially retired, thank heavens he hasn't quite gone away yet, because frankly there's no one to replace him and we're stuffed without him. But because it's Charles Darwin's 200th birthday this year, there's a big exhibition at the Natural History Museum, and BBC Four are running an amazing season of programmes all about Darwin on at the moment. But BBC One on Sunday night, 9 p.m, are doing a show called Charles Darwin and the Tree of Life, and it's essentially Attenborough's kind of boyish obsession with Darwin, and that's why he became a naturalist, and that's why he loves.
Is he a naturalist?
He is, yeah.
But he has clothes on television, doesn't he?
He walks around in the nuddy, looking at plants and animals.
is it true that Charles Darwin stole all his theories from someone else?
No, it isn't. Well, the story goes that he came up with his theory.
Yeah.
He, at the age of 22, went off on the Beagle, found all these species and started to develop his theory
Galapagos.
Of evolution. Yeah, came back from Galapagos and went, blimey, turtles, what's that all about? And then for 22 years worked on his theory.
Yeah.
And the story goes, and obviously, you know, who knows if it's actually true, another academic then sent him an essay saying, this is what I think. What do you reckon? I hear you're working on a similar thing. And he just went, oh, blimey, Charlie, I better publish mine quickly. So then both theories were read out.
Charlie Darwin nicked it!
I don't think he did.
It.
I think after 22 years of work, he was just a bit concerned that somebody was about to steal his thunder. Then apparently both... Attenborough talks about this on the programme.
Yeah.
Apparently then both theories were kind of given a reading in front of their scientific peers, although both authors of both theories were absent. And apparently everyone just went, yeah, it's all right, not really interested, and just ignored both theories.
Now,
so, you know,
I'm a creationist, so would I be able to enjoy this programme, or would it anger me?
No, I mean, it won't anger you as much as Richard Dawkins if you are a creationist. it will upset
Curse
you a bit.
You, Dawkins.
And of course, that's why this show's getting a bit, well, it'll get lots of attention anyway, because it's brilliant and it's Attenborough, but apparently he gets a lot of hate mail from creationists. He was saying in the press last week because they don't
he's
like
getting my letters, yes.
They don't like the way that he,
good.
Yeah, your purple felt tip ones,
yes.
Lovely. But they don't like the way that he talks about, you know, scientific fact and doesn't bring in the, oh, but it might have been
those
a fairy
facts.
Story with
those,
some people in a garden.
Those facts, they get in the way of everything, don't
and,
they?
And he supports the teaching of, obviously, evolutionary theory in schools without mention of, basically, he thinks that the evolution should be the science lessons, and then if you want to talk about religion, fine, do it in an RE lesson, but don't do it alongside science. It doesn't belong in a laboratory.
Listen,
frankly agree with him.
I think that I do what I do, just sweep all the facts to one side and you just go by blind prejudice.
Yeah,
that's
life
what. So, okay, so when that's on Sunday,
Sunday night,
BBC One, 9 p.m. Okay, can I play a record then we'll do
Please.
Your. Play a record. I said record, Chris. You don't even know what they are.
Spin a disc.
Doesn't know what they are. Bella Sebastian, thank you very much. Girls, calm down.
Sorry, just getting a bit excited.
We had a text for you.
Oh, my goodness.
Text, yes, it says, Julia, I asked Julia which Dawn Porter programme she's mainly been watching this week.
Oh, this is a long-running hatred I have for a presenter called Dawn Porter.
Not
personal hatred, just I can't stand her programmes and think she gives women journalism a bad name. But, you know, apart from that.
She once tried to come on to me.
gosh.
Yeah, there's a surprise. By pretending that something that she'd trodden on my foot in Edinburgh.
Oh, really?
And it's that sort of thing that could have happened.
That is so like her.
You sort of go along with it. And then actually I went, I don't think you did tread on my foot in Edinburgh. She said, no, I didn't. It was just a way to talk to you.
Oh. Because she thought she could climb the greasy pole of success and fame.
I only said the greasy pole. Yes, that greasy pole, yes.
By standing next to you.
Yes, exactly. When I'm plummeting on my way downwards. Now, what's the second programme that you done bring us?
The second one I done is Ladies of Letters. This one has slightly baffled me, and I don't say oh dear.
No, it just sounds... okay, you said Ladies of Letters, and then it says ITV3. Wow,
okay,
I didn't even know
they
went that
why,
far.
This is why I am baffled. First of all, I think this might be the first original commission that ITV3 have made.
Okay.
It's really quite a curveball.
ITV3, they normally show, are they like Taggart and stuff like that?
They show Poirot and Poirot and Poirot.
Oh, the Poirot channel.
Yes, the Poirot channel.
Is there an ITV3 plus one? Because
no,
I,
sadly
there's not.
Not.
Okay.
No, so if you miss the beginning of Poirot, you have to wait till
tomorrow.
Hour.
Which is that ITV2 shows Judge Judy.
Yes,
now that's good. You've got to admit that's good. Well, there was a brilliant one.
You know, that's not a crime thriller, that's real life.
There was a brilliant one. They had Johnny Rotten on there. Did anyone see that?
No.
It'll be on YouTube. Johnny Rotten on Judge Judy was being sued by like his an ex-drummer because he hadn't paid him.
Judge Judy.
And it was brilliant. And he was like, and Johnny Rotten, I think he won in the end. He was in the right. And he was like a sort of naughty boy, like sort of look staring at his shoes
he
and kicking
though,
his feet.
Mm.
And she was like, but yeah, he won. So anyway.
Can we
look it up on YouTube a little later on? We'll have
those
that.
Those butter adverts, though, I lost respect for Russia.
Oh, I gained
like
more
Iggy Pop
respect.
And the car insurance.
No. Is there again? Iggy Pop is sweet. Is there anything more punk than actually taking the dirty money? It's what he's done his whole career, is taking the money.
So.
Well done, I applauded him
Fair
for doing
enough.
That.
I take it all back, he's brilliant.
Yeah, good, come on, get on with it.
All right then, so Ladies of Letters, yes, it's an ITV3 drama, a new drama that's been made new for them. This, I don't think this has ever happened before. It starts on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and it's a series of 10 half-hour shows. Now, if I start describing it, it sounds like it should be on BBC One Sunday Tea Time and win a BAFTA. So I'm really not quite sure what it's doing on ITV3. But it's Anne Reid, who does lots of Victoria Wood stuff and is a brilliant National Treasure type actress.
Victoria Wood, she was funny in the 80s. Now she's not very good.
Yes, she is funny.
Okay, sorry about that. I do apologise.
I might actually walk out.
Is she related to you?
No, I just really love her.
Oh, she's Bobbins. I had a cup of tea and an orgasm. That's the act, isn't it, really? That's the
this
act.
Girl's thing. Well, I used to like you. Anyway, so it's Anne Reid, who was in some stuff, maybe not that, and Maureen Littman.
Who used to live next, not
you've
next,
got an
near me.
You're a
yes.
scientist.
She's good with Maureen Littman, we like
She's
her.
She's wonderful.
Yes.
She hasn't done anything on television for quite some time. So the two of them, it's a two-hander. It's very reminiscent of Alan Bennett, who actually did do a Talking Heads sort of monologue called Lady of Letters. This is Ladies of Letters.
Oh, okay.
And essentially they're two sort of 60-something, bear with me, it does sound like it might be a bit dull, but it's just not. It's two sort of 60-something widows who meet at a wedding and sort of, you know, because they're a bit lonely, decide to become pen pals.
Right.
And so they start writing to each other, and the whole format is the cameras pointing at either Maureen Littman or Anne Reid doing various things around their houses.
So it's like an episode of EastEnders where
reading
it's just,
their
just Dot.
Kind of, right. Yes, but a bit more cheery.
Okay,
a bit
good.
More upbeat.
Yes.
Less suicide-y. And it's just the two of them.
Oh, I like you. You can come in again, yes.
It's television to cut your wrist to that, isn't it? But it's two of them just doing these kind of monologues, and they start off with a very friendly correspondence, and then as women do, because I love women because they just get all bitchy and nasty, they just start to getting slightly more barbed with each other,
yes.
And they start sort of falling out, then they fall back in again. And it's just their correspondence. But it's the most staggering sort of high-end, you know, quite, I mean, the kind of drama you wouldn't have thought would be made anymore, because, you know, sort of drama, especially on ITV, has to be high concept, has to have spies in it and guns and bangs,
yeah,
and soldiers and Afghanistan. And it's just, it's the small...
What was that programme you were just talking about with the spies and the Afghanistan in?
Oh, it's Ross Kemp goes back to Afghanistan with a spy and a gun and a bomb.
Fantastic, I'm going to...
It's on at Easter or something, probably. But it's a really beautifully crafted small show, and it's on ITV3. But the history of the Ladies of Letters is quite sweet, because actually in the 90s, it's these two sort of 40-something friends who aren't
yes.
writers, they're amateurs, and they decided to sort of kill some boredom hours between the school runs and stuff to play a little game with each other, where they'd go around for coffee and leave a letter on their friend's kitchen table written in character as one of these widows.
What?
And then I know they don't know how they thought of it, but they did.
That's craziness.
Maybe it's slightly creepy. I don't know. And then the other one left a note, the other one saying, OK, write back as this character. Don't discuss it with me in face-to-face. We'll just write the letters.
Oh, that's like... that's no, that's in a kind like of a kinky straight game,
well,
yeah.
Well, I don't think there was any sexy sex
once,
involved.
Once you enter the bedroom, we're different people. Is there, no, that's not...
with OK, imagine that, but platonic. And then they started doing that. And then one of them, I think, knew Sue Townsend, who wrote the Adrian Mole books.
Yes.
And she got a hold of the letters and said, brilliant, write a book. And then the book was about to get published. Then Robert Maxwell, who owned the publishing company, dived over the side of his boat.
Where's this going?
Or, you know, fell.
Yes.
But then the publishing company pulled out and didn't publish the book.
Take a breath.
So it didn't get published for ages. And then...
where's this going? This is the weirdest story I've ever heard.
It is. It's amazing. It's almost better than the story of the Lady of the Letters. But anyway, so the book didn't get published.
Yes.
And then eventually it ended up on Radio 4... With I think it was Prunella Scales and some other brilliant actors like Patricia Routledge, and they did it on Woman's Hour as a radio play, and then finally it did get published. There's fans all over the world who love it, because obviously the BBC gets listened to everywhere, and now it's finally made it to TV.
There's a lunatic in the studio. This woman just that was the longest.
I just thought that was a really interesting story.
It was very interesting, but it just you didn't pause for breath.
No, I don't.
So is the programme any good, or is it a bit posh?
It's really good.
Okay, are you saying it's because
your parents know? Your parents will probably love it. Which shouldn't put you off.
Hey, kids.
No, I know.
It's
exactly.
One for your mum.
You can imagine if George had been here this week, there'd just been yawning people around.
Yes.
But I think, give it a go. It's only half an hour. It's just, it's like a time capsule. You just don't see this kind of drama anymore.
So this is on ITV3.
And it could be ITV3's first BAFTA.
10 o'clock. Tuesday.
Yes.
And if it's no good, we can come to you and get our money back? Is that...
Absolutely.
Excellent stuff. Julia, thank you very much for coming in. It's been very nice talking to you.
I've really
enjoyed it. Good. You're having a baby, are you?
I am.
When's that coming out?
July. It's coming out in July.
Do we know which kind it is?
No.
Are you not going to find out?
No.
Really? Now, okay, we'll play a record in a minute. Sorry, I know we're late. It doesn't matter. Really, how can you... the science and technology is there. How could you not want to know that it's a boy or a girl?
Because it's like opening a Christmas present early. I'd rather have the... It's like a film, isn't it? It's a boy, it's a girl.
But you can paint the room.
I don't mind which type I have.
Yes, of course.
A healthy one would be nice. Don't mind which colour or size or shape or whatever.
Yes.
But I think it would be nice to have a surprise.
Wow, I mean, a brilliant surprise. I don't think I could go that long.
I will be madly curious when I get the next picture of it taken. I'll kind of, you know, want to know but not want to.
Okay, well, listen, best of luck with that. I hope that all goes very well and lovely. I do.
Thank you.
I'm getting broody at the moment. That's why every time I see a pregnant lady, I say, what's
you can't have mine.
No, I wasn't. What a strange thing to say. Well, on that slightly bizarre note, where it fell out, where you think I was going to try and buy your baby off you. How much would you... No.
500 quid.
Okay, let's play this and we'll talk.
Saying.
Cheers.
BBC Six Music. Six Music. On digital. Online. BBC Six Music. BBC Six Music. Ian Lee.
Two reasons to get very excited. I've just seen the Eagles of Death Metal out there setting up, and it looks brilliant. It looks like it's going to be very, very noisy. Are they allowed to be noisy in there? Is that allowed?
Yeah.
It's only a tiny room. Someone's going to hurt their ears or something. Someone's going to get hurt in there. It's going to be good. I'm very, very excited. You excited, Will?
I'm getting there.
What does that mean? Well, okay, no, I put you on the spot. That was unfair of me, and I shouldn't have done it. Oh, we've got Catherine Drysdale coming up, who's star, of course, of 2 pints. I know you said 3 pints of lager in a packet of crisps. There's no such show, is there?
No.
It's only the 2 pints involved. Well, they should.
Unless that's on BBC 3 plus 1.
There is an ITV 3 plus 1, I've been told. It's up around 200 on the Skybox, so that's good. But she's coming in a minute, and she's doing Shakespeare and stuff, so I'll show off a little bit my Shakespeare knowledge. No, I only know one Shakespeare play. It's Much Ado About Nothing, and she's not doing one of those, so that puts the kibosh on that. She's coming in after The Killers. What a slow, quiet start. Sorry, I thought this was going to kick in, so I'll let you down a bit there. Sorry about that. Okay, we're joined by... Oh, you've turned the headphones down. That's why I can't hear. That's why I was shouting there for a second. I have the headphones on super-duper loud, which is how it works. Hang on, look at all that terrible mixing there. You don't need those on, though. It's good you didn't have them on, Catherine, because you would have heard me muffing up the songs totally, and it would have been awful. Catherine Drysdale is in. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, most people would know you from 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
Yep, indeed.
Which is on about, like, Series 62 or something,
yep.
Isn't it?
How, yep.
It just keeps going on and on and on.
Yeah, in fact, we're filming another one at the moment.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just greedy. Give another comedy show a chance, for God's sakes, woman. Look, have a breather. You're looking very glam for, what is it, 10 past 11 in the
yeah,
morning?
Yeah, I've got a show today, so...
But you're not wearing that outfit on the show, are you? Shakespeare?
Yeah, I
really?
Am. Yeah.
Short little mini skirt, yeah. A leather jacket. Is that what's happening in Shakespeare these
it
days?
It is, yeah, it's modern.
So, okay, how did you go... People will wonder how you went from doing a sitcom... Is this still just on ITV, BBC Two?
BBC Three.
Why wouldn't they put it on a proper channel?
It was on BBC Two, but the producer kind of gave it away to BBC Three because they said we'd have loads of publicity.
Yeah.
And we didn't. So.
BBC, I'm a big fan. I was saying this yesterday, BBC Three and BBC Four, why not just put those programmes on BBC One and BBC Two? Then people will see them. More people will see them, particularly BBC Four, which does brilliant programmes, but no one sees it because why would you want to go there?
Exactly.
Okay, well, Chris, you'll come get email into BBC and get them to put it on there.
You got to get it with digital, Grandad.
I'm with the digital. I'm with the digital. Don't get me wrong about that, but I just can't be bothered to flick through that many buttons. You know, it's a chore.
You're lazy.
I'm very lazy. I need to, anyway, sorry, we're chatting about Sky Plus, and that's irrelevant to the Shakespeare. How did you go from the sitcom to the Shakespeare?
Well, I was properly classically trained. I went to drama school and all that.
Okay,
so yeah. I've done plays before.
You went to Central, didn't you?
I went to Central.
I auditioned for Central. Wouldn't let me in.
You didn't get in.
don't laugh. What's that? they said come back in a year. When you've matured. Yeah. That's their posh way of saying, no, we don't think so. So you're doing the Shakespeare. Now, are you doing two Shakespeares or is this sheet incorrect?
I was doing two in Stratford.
Yeah.
And then Love, Sabres, Lost with David Tennant.
Oh, and, yes. He's good, he is.
He's really good.
The Casanova.
Yeah.
And the Doctor Who.
And the Doctor Who, yeah.
So, but were you doing two at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay, now this, I've been reading the Kenneth Williams diaries, and he talks about a thing that happened many years ago called rep.
Yeah.
Where you would put one play on in a week, and you'd learn the next week's play, and then rehearse it while one play was on, and then you'd finish that, and then you'd do the next play, and it went on and on. How can you have two plays in your head simultaneously?
Well, in fact, most of the company were doing three because they were doing Hamlet, Love's Labour's Lost, which is one of Shakespeare's hardest plays.
Well done, and get that in.
And Midsummer Night's Dream. So.
I don't understand how that's possible. At any point, did you ever start doing the wrong lines or get the scenes mixed up or anything?
No.
Okay.
You just get used to it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I did drama at college, but having one play in my head was bad enough, but just the two... How do you learn them? Do you do that thing where you, like, read it and look at it and then look away and then do that?
Repeat it. Yeah.
Do you sleep with it under your pillow?
No.
Okay, that's...
I do cooking as well, like, you know, chopping and slicing and repeating the lines. That's another good one.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you ever do...
Or driving.
In your iPod, go for a run?
No.
The lines, don't do that?
No, I don't run.
Do you not? You look. No. I mean, look very trim. The Eagles of Death Metal, I believe, were trying to hit on you out there.
They were. I love Eagles of Death Metal.
You want, you're okay, baby? You want a drink? Well done. Well done him for working at every opportunity he gets. You've got to respect that. So you don't do any of the fitness or anything?
Well, I've not got the time at the moment.
Well, so let's get this right. So you're doing just the one play now?
Yeah.
Okay, it's only one play. That's easy. And the sitcom at the same time. You're filming that?
I'm filming that, yeah.
You must be knackered.
Yeah, I'm doing about... The other day I did 17 hours.
Now, there are people working in, like, boots and down coal mines.
I know.
No, but I was complaining today about doing 3 hours for 5 days in a row. This is unusual for me. So 17 hours does seem ridiculously long to me, you know, because after this, I'm going to go to the British Museum with my Japanese friend and look at all the art we stole from the olden days. Not stole, that we found and we collected. Where is this play on, please?
The play is on at the Novello Theatre, Aldwych, London. West End.
That's a nice theatre, isn't it?
Mm, lovely theatre.
That's a very nice... And how long are you on there for?
Well, we've only got just over a week left now.
Oh, really? What are you doing in here, then?
You got me in late.
You should have come in last week, for goodness sakes. But there's... Okay, but I'm sure people could still come along and see it. Do you get... You must get some of the I keep saying 3 pints. I'm going to call it 3 pints. Why
say
not?
3 pints. Yeah. Everybody else does.
You must get some of the 3 pints fans at the stage door.
Yeah.
Salivating a little bit too hard, you know, just drooling a bit, rubbing their knees.
Yeah.
You're an attractive looking woman and
bless
you're in a sitcom.
You.
No, you're a very fine looking lady. But do you ever get. Are the fans of sitcoms, because I've, you know, done comedy programmes and the fans can
of course
be
you have, yeah.
a little bit hardcore, shall we say?
We've got some die-hard 2 pints fans. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was. That's the way I was trying to phrase it. Well,
die-hard. They come to every show that we're in. You know, they're fantastic. Actually.
And do they come to the Shakespeare?
They
and
do.
See it.
Yeah, and some of them have never seen Shakespeare before.
See, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
To get them to do that. And do they understand it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you're on. You can't. I know, of course, you have to be very tiptoe around these people. Some of them, let's be honest, some of them can be freaks, though. You don't need to agree with that, but some comedy fans.
They can be, yeah. Some.
I will say this, actually, this is almost relevant. I got a Japanese friend over and we're doing all the touristy stuff. We went to the London Eye last night, mm-hmm. and the gentleman behind the counter recognised me because there had been a thing on Sky that I did at the weekend about Lost, and he was chatting about that. And then he went, "You're going to hit me for this, but I can't remember your name." I said, "Well, that's fine. What do you think my name is?" He went, "Are you Ralph Little?" I get this.
In your dreams.
In my dreams, what? I get this so many times. People think I'm Ralph Little. You've worked with Ralph.
Yeah.
Is there anything going on here that looks a bit like the Little?
Absolutely not.
There's nothing, is there?
No.
I met him years ago, and he said that he gets the same thing. People ask him what it was like working with Ali G and Daisy Donovan, so... but I don't think we look alike. And then he said, "Are you Richard Bacon?" I went, "Get out of here. You can stick your London Eye up your backside, mate. I'm having none of this."
You work with... was it Charlie Cheese or whatever it was?
I worked with Charlie Cheese. Claire knows Charlie Cheese.
I went to school with him.
With Charlie Cheese?
Yeah.
How do you know Charlie Cheese?
Mackenzie Crook, we should
dance. I know, we shouldn't explain it to any of the losers.
I saw you in Edinburgh when I was at drama school.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I was up there that year.
I was up there with some.
What were you doing up
drums.
There? No, go on, what were you doing?
I don't know, I can't remember.
Come on, of course you can. I was in the blooming Charlie Cheese show. What were you doing?
It was called Pope Afloat. Don't laugh. And I was playing, I think I was playing a priest or a nun or something.
You weren't in the same venue as us, were you?
No. What was that?
We were in the Cafe Royal.
No, mine was Eagle something.
Because I snogged someone who was being a nun. Wasn't you?
It wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you. Wasn't you. Well, bless you for bringing up the Charlie Cheese, though. Yeah. That's made my day, though. I was, okay, well, I'll tell
you. You were very good.
Was good in those days. It's the second time I've said it. It's all gone downhill since then. Catherine, listen, thank you very much. Give the name of the theatre one more time, just so we know.
The Novello Theatre, okay, Aldwych.
Brilliant. Well, listen, you're off to go and do a show now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in. I'm sorry we got you with just a week to go, but... if you're listening to this and you go and sit as a result of this, go backstage, go to the stage door. I'm sure Catherine would buy you a pint.
Yeah, and I do a deep voice in this as well, so it's a bit of a change.
Oh, hang on a second.
What, you want me to do it?
Can we?
Okay. How low am I? Don't laugh.
No, that was flipping brilliant. Hey, Catherine, it's very nice to meet you. Thank you very much for coming in. Cheers.
BBC Six Music, Saturday evening from 10.
Ooh, yeah! That was a session recorded in 2003. I said it. Was that the right year?
It's the wrong song.
Oh, was it? Which song was it? Oh, well.
The One That Dies is the session.
Oh, forget those guys.
Recorded for Six Music, June 2003.
If you missed it, you can go back on the iPlayer and it'll be there. And who wants to... Do you want a Catherine Drysdale fact sheet? Anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on. You can have that souvenir of the day. I'll sign that for you later on. Good lad. here we go. Adam from Warren Street has emailed in. Ian, I just heard you say bobbins. Me and my two mates have had long-running discussions whether bobbins is good or bad. Myself and my friend Ray are in the camp that it's good. My mate Ned claims it's bad. Who knows? Who knows what bobbins is? Will, I look at you.
I think you meant bad.
Okay, Chris?
Yeah, it's rubbish. Bobbins.
Yeah.
But do you know why it's rubbish? Bobbins of cotton, rotten. There we go. That's that one. Ian, I lived in New York. Oh, we were doing this ages ago. Well, we'll finish off these emails and we'll move on to something else after the Eagles of Death Metal. I'm very, very excited about them. Very excited about them. We were asking, had you ever been to somewhere in the world and not visited its most famous attraction after a friend of mine went to Egypt and didn't see no pyramids? No pyramids, no Sphinx. Ian, I lived in New York for 5 years. I didn't visit anything. I drove past the Empire State Building every morning. That's as close as it comes. And then someone... I thought it was a sexy comment about Dawn Porter. And someone said they've been to New York and never been to the Statue of Liberty or the Empire State Building. You've got to go see those things, haven't you? That's what it's all about. Dom says, I've never been to Alton Towers, and I haven't any cousins either. What is that?
I don't know what that means.
Does that refer to anything? Ian, for the love of God, don't go to the London Dungeons. I spent 2 days in there once. Long story, the smell is still on me.
What?
From Ben. It's a long story, but I'm kind of keen to know. Ian, about 6 years ago, I went to San Francisco. I did not see Pier 39, Alcatraz, or the Golden Gate Bridge. What's Pier 39?
Is that a club?
It's either a club or a pier.
Mm,
it's
the 39th pier.
The 39th pier, the famous 39th pier of San Francisco. Can we stop sending in heritage sites, World Heritage Sites now, please? Ian, Brian from Edinburgh here, I've lived... Well, no, this is... OK, this is, I'm assuming that Brian from Edinburgh has sent this in, but has written it very... Brian from Edinburgh has lived there all his life and has never been to Edinburgh Castle. Very strange.
People are getting very upset with you, you know.
Why is that?
Because you're printing out the text.
I'm not printing the text out.
I'm wasting paper.
Well, don't turn this on me. This is the BBC's corrupt paper machine.
We recycle, though. We recycle.
That is true,
no,
yes.
We recycle.
I make sure every piece of paper don't, is written
that we don't have to justify ourselves to these people out there, for goodness sakes. We don't have to...
We do.
No, we don't. nuts to them. Nuts to you all. I'm only here for a week. I don't care. No, I am handed the emails on paper. I didn't ask for them if there's an environment-friendly way. No, stuff it. Stuff the environment. It's the wombats. Here's a text that will mean... What did you do there, Chris?
I did nothing. I did nothing at all.
You're blushing.
No.
I'm going to read out a text that will mean nothing to anybody under the age of 35. It's from Daisy in Swansea. Ian, I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me. Well, what a beautiful. You don't know what you're missing, kids. You don't know what you're missing. Hey, that was the Rebel playlist winner. If you want to find out more, Steve Lamacq's page on the Six Music website. I believe it's a lot of fun there. Eagles of Death Metal coming up very soon. We just heard them. Open the door quickly, before we go to the news. You can just hear them very quickly, faintly in the background. This is them warming up. I didn't think we'd be able to hear it very well. It sounds like we've got the Quo in there. Fantastic. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, it's time now for the Six Music News.
On digital radio and online, BBC Six Music.
MP ordered to repay son's wages, call for a booze-free childhood and plans for broadband for all.
And in Six Music News, Zevi shutting more doors, Tony Allen talks collaborations and Madness celebrate 30 years.
Six Music. BBC News at 11:30, I'm Harvey Cook.
BBC Six Music. Ian Lee.
Okay. This is very exciting. Eagles of Death Metal, curb your filthy language. We're live on the BBC.
And yes, of course.
We will have none of that over here, sir. I don't know what you're allowed to do in the United States of America, but here we like to keep it clean because the Daily Mail listens to us. So, we've got the Eagles of Death Metal. Only one of you's got... You've only got a microphone on your own.
I've got a microphone, but I can translate for Joey via satellite.
Okay, so we've got Joey on the drums. What's it with drummers and tats all the time, covered in the tattoos? That's crazy.
It's more like, what's it about super... badass rock and rollers, and I meant that in the artistic sense,
yeah,
so that's clean.
Yeah.
What is it about them that requires them to be twisted up with ink? I don't know, but it's a beautiful thing.
Introduce yourself to the nation, please, sir.
I'm the Boots Electric from the Eagles of Death Metal, and Joey Castillo from the Eagles of Death Metal, and we are the Eagles of Death Metal.
And can I say... we've got a huge audience as well. Have come.
This is awesome, man. Here we are. I mean, this old hillbilly never thought he'd be in London in the morning, about to do a radio show with a beautiful audience inside the radio show. This is cool, man. And there's an element of danger involved.
You don't know what songs you're going to do.
I don't even know what songs I'm going to do. It's crazy right now.
Can I just say that the moustache? I'm sure you get this all the time. I'm loving it, man.
Oh, thank you, darling.
I can't grow a moustache like that. It's all a little bit wispy. I'm like a 16-year-old boy.
No, honey. Well, you are like a beautiful 16-year-old boy.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I will help you with your moustache.
What does that mean? That's terrifying, isn't it? Listen, so there's only two of you. You can't make music with just a drum and a guitar, can you?
I think that's... is Mr. Guinness here? Because we were going to try to see if we get in the world record book.
Okay.
To see... I'm just kidding.
Well, okay. Well, I tell you what. Prove it then. Come on, let's see your chops. Are you going to do a song for us then?
We've got a challenge. He's thrown the gauntlet
down.
There's
only two of you. I don't think you can make music. Prove me wrong.
Secret plans?
Gentlemen, you have proved me wrong.
That was pleasant. That was wonderful.
That was a very charming song indeed. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, darling.
That was filthy, man. Can I just say, and I mean this as a compliment, but it may sound like an insult, shades of early Kiss going on there. Kind of like the Ace Frehley sound.
Absolutely, man.
The first three albums.
My very first concert was Kiss Destroyer with my father at the Greenville Memorial Auditorium, and I'll never forget it. It was when they had the... Joe, you remember the Japanese tigers that faced each other and the fire that came up from the front?
Yeah,
and it was when Ace Frehley did that solo that he'd play, and then he'd take his hands away from his guitar, and it would shoot up into the air and blow up. It was the craziest thing in the world.
Was that the tour where he fired rockets from his guitar? He had rockets at the end of his guitar?
Yeah, it was. And that's the one where Gene Simmons' candelabra would glow red with fires and sprayed blood upon the crowd. You know what I mean? When you're 7 years old, that can have an impression upon you.
You sound like Ace Frehley at his peak, you know, that kind of dirty sound and just, you know, bold
well,
and ballsy.
I hope Davey Joe Catching, the other guitarist from Eagles of Death Metal, is listening, and I hope you heard that, Davey, because you didn't get this compliment.
You know, the other fella's rubbish. You know, he's not here. He's rubbish. He couldn't bother to turn up. Hey, you know, with Gene, we'll stop talking about. There's Gene Simmons. He's there.
Oh wow! You know, download this right now.
You know where Gene Simmons does the eating the fire? Yeah. There's a brilliant clip on YouTube of him eating the fire, it going wrong, and his hair setting alight. Yeah. It's a wonderful bit of footage.
I'd love to see that because, quite frankly, I don't think he's a good representative of the American dream. I really don't. And when he comes to foreign countries and he represents America in such a way, it's terrible, honestly.
Well, he is. Let's be honest.
We respect women at my household, and we respect rock and roll, and we don't think it's all about just being shamelessly vulgar. You know what
I mean? Well done, you. Can I just ask that in that case, you respect women so much that tonight's gig is ladies only? I don't think you're legally allowed to do that anymore.
Well, ladies, meaning that if you come up dressed as Elton John, Sir Elton John, or as a lady, you can get in.
Okay. So that's the get-up clause. If you're wearing a dress or...
If you come as a lady, then you're in. But really, it's about a celebration of ladies, not a discrimination against men. So therefore, because of the intent, it cannot be held to be discriminatory. There you have it.
Gives me 2 seconds to work out what he just said there. Hang on. Yeah, no, that works for me. You're at the Soho Review Bar.
Yeah, and I believe it's the last night for the Soho Review Bar.
No, not another one that's closing down, is it?
Yeah, I can't believe that. That bar has got quite a history, actually, here.
Well, all of the good venues are closing down at the moment. They're building a train or something?
Well, I suppose you can't have a return unless you go away.
Wow, this is too deep for me. At 11:45.
I guess it's a way to look at things and give it some sort of hope, because all good things must pass, but they must also return.
Now, that's just nonsense, sir. I'll have you up on that.
Then my grandmother told me that.
Oh, in that case.
She also said if it looks like an Indian and smells like an Indian, it ain't John Wayne.
There you go.
Call it like it is.
So, whereabouts in the United States are you from?
Joey's from East LA.
Okay.
Right?
You're right, Joey. You having a good time up there on the drums? You loving it?
I'm from Greenville, South Carolina.
Where the hell is that?
That's on the Far East Coast. It still has the King's Highway. I mean, it's a very old world.
Okay. The King's Highway?
That's before the Queen was here, you know what I mean?
The British are coming.
No, they just haven't left.
Okay, yeah. Well, we can come and take back the island anytime we want.
We want you back there, baby.
We're coming. Hey, we like Americans now, since the whole Obama thing. America's cool again.
America's...
have I started something I shouldn't have done here? Oh, dear.
You're right.
Well done. Do you want to do another song for us before we go into a rant that perhaps...
I'm about to go into apoplexy right now.
You can't see this, Delissa, but there's almost fitting here. Can I just say, very tight top, very buff. My girlfriend's not listening today, so I can flirt with the guitarist.
You see that?
Very buff. Look at that.
It's the whole point of the tight shirt.
Yeah, showing it off. Ladies, would we agree? Would we have a piece if there was some going? Yes. Don't pretend. Lee's doing the mock embarrassment. You know, I'm setting
no,
him up.
No, it's
for
called
you.
I'm Getting Bashful.
Oh, well done. Hey, listen, can we have another song?
Yes. We have a new single out. It's called Wanna Be in LA. We should probably play that.
I love it. Go on.
Ready, Louis? All right. That was a little Ace Frehley for you.
I know, man. I love it. That was fantastic. Thank you so much for that.
I actually think that was an actual Ace Frehley run right there. Just for you, my darling.
Oh, bless you, man. You're out of breath. Do you need to sit down or anything? You're right.
No. I want to keep moving. You guys get us in here for two songs. You lure us in with a promise of music and then get rocking and rolling and then it's out the door.
Yeah, get out. We've had
enough. Wham, bam.
Hey, so listen, how long are you over here for?
7 feet. No, I'm just kidding. That was a terrible joke.
It was a terrible joke.
No, we're here for a win.
I can't hear what you said.
We leave tomorrow.
Oh, no. Really?
And the sunshine, it's beautiful outside today.
It's suddenly become a nice... Well, I've got some texts here for you. In that case, this one... Can you ask the Eagles of Death Metal if they're going to play in Wales? I've followed them around the country to see them play. I thought it was about time they returned the favour.
Well, as my last name is Hughes and Welsh, of course we'll be playing in Wales.
You just don't know when.
I just can't say exactly when because of security and stuff like that, you know.
Sam in Exeter says, Ian, I saw the Eagles of Death Metal last summer at a festival in Holland called Pink Pop.
Oh, that place is great.
Was it good?
It was amazing.
What was going on there then?
Well, first of all, you walk in and they have a city for the artists built backstage. It's the wildest, you know. they can kind of go crazy over there.
I hear.
You know what I mean? But it's just cool. You're like in a world, and they have a beautiful female attendant, a Flemish attendant for every band. It's really wild, man. Like, you don't. You don't like expect to see that stuff for real, but like, I'm your attendant. What do you need? Hurry, I have to get back to heaven. So, you know, it's kind of a bummer.
They rocked harder than a slab of granite. And the best moustache in the world of music as well, you see.
Who was that from, Simon?
That's from Sam in Exeter.
Oh, well, hello. I love Exeter. We'll probably be playing in Exeter sometime soon as well.
Have you got any plans to come back and do, you know, a full tour? And,
we come back in a month, right? Come back in a month.
Oh, okay. So you'll be doing
Yeah, the ladies only show. It's just a special event, of course, obviously, and, and just an opportunity to get to come and do it is rad. But you can't deny the fact that England is the starting point for our rock and roll. I mean, even Jimi Hendrix had to come here to get big.
Yeah, yeah, you know exactly. I mean? But well, you say that, but then the Beatles stole everything that...
The Beatles defined everything.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say it. Chris, who's been working... I'm sorry, Chris. I hate to do this. There's a room full of people. Chris has been working on our show. He doesn't like the Beatles.
But I love you, Chris.
I'm loving the love, man. This is great. There's no attitude. There's none of this big rock star stuff.
Can you imagine? Like, really, I am the luckiest dude in the world. This is the greatest job that you could ever possibly have. And what kind of jerk would you be if you actually got to look in the face of this and act like you were entitled to it or that you were owed it? You know,
I mean, back to Gene Simmons again, isn't it?
I mean, really, but really, you know, honestly, there's a Gene Simmons Terry Gross interview from National Public Radio that I recommend everyone listen to because it's the exact thing you never want to be.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to go home and my mom, like, still want me to have dinner at the dinner table.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I have a son. I'm a father, too. And my son looks at me, and that's just not lost upon me.
How old is your boy?
He's 9 years old.
Oh, fantastic.
9 years old going on 23.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Has he picked up a guitar yet? Is he playing anything?
No, but he has fathered a child. No, right. I'm just kidding.
Listen, I'm only the guest host. George Lamb normally does this.
Normally, you're beautiful, Ian. I think it's great.
Hey, bless you, man. I love you. Normally, you're only allowed to do two songs. I'm only here for a week. Do you want to do another one?
Yes, I do.
Do you want another one? I don't care if we're allowed to or not. I don't work here properly. Do another one. I'm loving this.
Do we have a capo?
Quick!
Okay,
quick.
You want to do Boys by... I Only Want You?
You do whatever you want to do, fellas. You do whatever you want to do. I'll get told off for this. Do you know what? I don't care. Come on, we're getting the capo on.
I only want you.
Take it away, fellas. Are you finished now?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Was the voice going a bit there on the falsetto? You wanted him to stop, but he couldn't stop rocking.
Joey's in charge. Like, he's the drummer, so... And you can't stop rocking when you can't stop rocking, baby. You know what I'm saying?
If it's in you, Joey, you've got to do it. If the beats are in there, they've got to come out, haven't they? Sure. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that.
Just don't turn off rock and roll.
You cannot call in sick to rock and roll, and you cannot turn it off.
Hey, listen, so you're going back to the States tomorrow.
Yeah. What's happening? No. We go to Berlin tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be exciting.
Yeah.
When do you go back home to the States then?
Sunday.
And you're out of breath. I'm sorry, man. Look.
No. I'm ready to go.
Give me a hug, man. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Give me a hug, man. For goodness sakes. You're doing good. We've only got a minute left. Don't worry. What's happening when you get back home? Have you got tours? Are you
we start immediately. We start immediately in San Diego. I pick up my son and I'm going to take him on a rock tour.
Really?
Give him 3 days. Put him to work. we're short at tech, so...
Well, these 9-year-olds, they're strong enough to carry guitars and amps and things,
aren't
they?
Just look at the example of the Industrial Revolution. It tells us that children really can go into labour.
Well, yes, that was up chimneys and things like that, and working in cotton mills, but there's still some...
Well, if you tie a rope around their shoulders, you can get them back out, you know what I mean?
But so listen, tonight, it's at the Soho Review Bar. It's ladies only, but if you dress up like a lady, you're getting in.
You may get in.
Maybe.
Oh!
These ladies are getting in. For sure. Hello, darlings.
It is quite remarkable. I'm not used to this. You're seeing lots of attractive young ladies sitting there, all just looking up at you with wonderment in their eyes, while your hand is actually down there, for goodness sakes. Come on now. This is the BBC.
I've got cold fingers, baby.
Hey, listen, fellas, it's an absolute pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for coming.
So much,
I enjoyed that. It was wonderful.
Ian, thank you very much. We had a great time, dude.
Bless you, man. Okay, I think Claire is going to press a button in the studio now. Is that right? Can we just go home now? Really, can we? Seriously.
Let's go home with Ham.
Can we? The Eagles of Death Metal were fan-flipping-tastic, weren't they? They did that thing. They said, oh, if you want to come to the gig tonight, you can. You haven't got to wear a dress. And I went, oh, yeah, I'd love to. Knowing full well that I can't go. But I didn't have the conviction to say, I'm busy tonight. Because then it looks like you're fobbing them off.
Yeah.
It looks like you're going, oh, no, I wouldn't want to come and see that again. Really, I'm thinking, yeah, I want to come. But I can't, I'm busy. So now when I don't turn up, they'll go, that guy was a right jerk. He never came to our concert and he said he was going to come. So, yeah, I've lost. Either way, I've lost. The Eagles of Death Metal shall never be my friends. It was good, wasn't it?
It was.
Lots of people were texting in saying that was good, Tim in Manchester. That's one saying it's good to play Ned's Atomic Dustbin.
That's always good.
No, it's always good. Ian, can you tell the band that song, And Now I'm a Fool, makes me go dizzy? It's that good, says Viv in Manchester. Everybody's loving them. We've got an hour to go now, and I feel a bit. We've peaked.
It's better than any climax.
We can't. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. We were going to do ugly. Let's throw this out. Let's do this now. Let's see if we get anything in this. We may carry it over tomorrow. We're going to try and create the ugliest band in pop using only ugly band members in existence. I'm going to put on the rhythm guitar Al Jardine from the Beach Boys. Anyone seen him? His head looks like a. Well, I won't say what it looks like because it's at 12 o'clock in the morning, in the daytime, not in the evening. Have you got any ugly band members there, Chris? You've got a little list.
I've been trying, but it's quite difficult.
Lady Gaga is the singer.
Lady Gaga, you have.
Will, are you a fan of Lady Gaga?
Not a big one. No.
Just put some clothes on and shut up. I've never even heard her song. That's what annoys me so much, is I've never even heard her song, but I already know far too much about her, and I've seen far too much of her body. That disappoints me.
I've only heard her music. I'm not a
You've never seen her?
I've never really... Oh.
Just is there one a picture of the tabloids.
Yeah, look, I'll get her. Go on,
anyone.
You tell us what ugly stars you've got, and I'll find a picture of her. Go on.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, mine aren't that good, though. Mine are a bit boring, I think. Got Tom York.
Oh, Tom York's not... No, well, okay.
He's very oddly looking.
Tom York's not ugly. Oh, there's Lady Gaga. Okay. You can't really... Surprisingly, for the star, you can't really see her...
Is that her with Miss Paris? What is that on her head?
That's her hair.
What's it supposed to be?
Is it a bow?
Oh, I thought it was like big corny bunches, like I think Madonna had in the 80s. Or
corny
like.
Bunches, that's the technical term for as well. You can go.
I'm making up words now. I don't even know anymore.
I'd like some corny bunches on my head, please. Tom York. I'm not going to let you
agree with Tom York.
No,
okay.
I'm not.
Shane McGowan.
Yes, Shane McGowan.
That's obvious, though.
Yes. Yeah, see, I told you it was rubbish.
He can be on the back.
This is controversial. I don't necessarily agree with this, but a lot of people do. Is Motya. Motya?
Mucha, yes.
Mucha, sorry. Mucha.
When I was on Big Brother's Little Brother the other week, Mucha's sister came in, and I said to someone, she's like a good-looking version of Mucha, because they look identical, but she's beautiful. And Mucha, no, she's, strange. Yes, okay.
She speaks highly of you, too.
Ah, who cares?
Really?
Who cares what an ex-sugar babe says about me? I had a row with Michelle Heaton once on live TV. You know, the other one from the Big Brother? Because I was saying her boyfriend was a cheat. I tell you this, her husband, actually, at the time, Lisa Scott Lee, was on Pop Idol or X Factor, and I said he was cheating because he'd already been in the band. What was the name of that band, Chris? 3SL. and that the public had already made their decision that they didn't want him to be a pop star by not buying his records. And I had this sort of campaign going. She came on the show, and she was a bit, like, moody with me all morning. I thought, so something is going to happen here. And during the interview, she went, yeah, can we just stop for a second? You've been saying bad things about my husband. I think you're well out of order. And I just started laughing, thinking, I'm about to have a row with a pop star on live TV. This is what I've dreamt of all my life.
That sounds awesome.
Give us one more, then we'll put it out to the listener.
Oh, right.
We need an ugly...
I think that
one. Bears.
Well, what do you think? Yeah, so mad.
Yeah, this isn't working. Just say it.
We'll go with 50 Cent.
Why would you go with...
Myself and Claire have decided on 50 Cent. Have you
right.
seen him? How does he pull so many... I'm not going to say the word he uses. Women.
Because he's a multi-millionaire rap artiste. That's right. I'm not letting you have Tom York or 50 Cent. Shane McGowan and Mucha you can have. We need drummers and we need ugly guitarists and bass players
we'll
as well. george.6music@bbc.co.uk is the email. 64046 is the text. We've got 50 minutes to sort this band out, so if you could hurry up. Thank you very much.
Music. Ian Lee.
Let me tell you what I do when my day is over.
We're all looking at pictures of Beth Ditto with no eyebrows there. And Claire, you're responsible for having no eyebrows. What did you do?
No, she came into Six Music. It's not my fault. She came into Six Music.
Well, you started
and
the sentence that I'm responsible for it.
She liked my eyebrows. And I stupidly, as a young girl, plucked my eyebrows. And now that's why I have a fringe. I cover them up because I hate them.
Well, they don't. Hang on, your eyebrows don't grow back. Well, there's not much there, but they grow back, though, don't they, eyebrows?
Yeah, but not very nice.
Really?
And so when Beth came in and I interviewed her, she said, I really like your eyebrows. Yeah. And then the next time I saw her, she hardly had any. Oh. And I was like, oh, no.
Well, that'll learn someone. I don't know who. I don't know what the moral of that story is, but there's a moral in there somewhere, kids. My sister's emailed in. Well done. if you require the services of an ugly drummer, look no further than Stuart Cable, formerly of the Stereophonics. Is he ugly? I don't know what he looks like. Is he,
I have no idea.
Can we get a picture up on the Google? Right. Have a look. He gets bonus... This is not true, Joe. He gets bonus points because his mum's name is Mabel. Mm. Mabel Cable? Mm. No! Tomorrow, you're right, it's rhyming names. Yeah. It's rhyming... I was... When I bought my flat, I was tricked by the estate agent because you have this really sexy...
Really?
Yes. You have this really sexy young lady, one of the sexiest women I've ever seen in my life, showing you around the flat. And you're like, oh, yeah, I want to see more of this flat. Yeah, let's see more of this flat. So then when you say, yeah, I'd buy it, you never see this woman ever again. She disappears. And instead, a strange man who looks like a hypnotist from Victorian days called Felix serves you. So Felix serves you. I thought, Felix is... Then we got a letter. First name, Felix. Last name, Felix. Felix.
Stuart Cable. I remember him, actually.
Oh, yeah. I remember Stuart Cable. Well done, Joe. Yes, you're right. And my niece Pepper is listening, so that's excellent stuff. Well done to you. I think Stuart Cable beats Phil Collins. So he's definitely in there.
Can we have, like, Phil Collins as a groupie or something?
We could have Phil Collins. We could have double drums, like the Glitter Band.
Yeah, let's do
that. We'll have double drums. Speaking of that era, someone has suggested Dave Hill from Slade as the guitarist. Uglier than Pete Townsend. Pete Townsend's a very striking man, I think, with the nose and the eyes and the... So, yes, Dave Hill we're having on guitar. We need an ugly bass player, please. This is shaping up to be one hell of a band. Mm. I'd like to hear the record. I certainly wouldn't want to see them live.
BBC Six Music. Later this year, they'll be performing at Wembley.
I believe we have a controversial... What's the text that is causing consternation in the studio?
Big one.
It's an email and I'm not reading it out because I like ugly, beautiful people.
Are you not going to read it out?
No.
I'm being told to read it out.
What's the name of it? There's a name on there. Someone's saying ugly and Claire is...
Oh, I thought you read the whole thing. It's actually the whole group.
Yeah.
And it's everything but the girl.
Funny you should say that. We've had another text just before we even played that song saying the girl from Everything But The Girl.
Tracy Thorne.
The fella wrote a book. The fella nearly died, didn't he? Mm. Ben Watt. Mm.
Did he? Apparently he looks like Gollum.
Well.
And apparently she looks like she's been smacked by a pan.
I realise this is good. Tomorrow we will redress the balance, don't worry. We're going to make the most beautiful band tomorrow.
That's boring.
No, I know it's boring, but otherwise we get accused of being all nasty and stuff, and I don't want that, but we will make the most beautiful band. But his book, Ben Watt's book, about him dying, well, he didn't die, obviously, he wrote a book. But about him nearly... He got, like, some bug, like some virus bug, that they hadn't... No one knew what it was or what the cure was, and he nearly died. Mm. Read that.
Thanks for that fact.
Yep. There we go. Janis Joplin and Macy Gray on vocals, Rick Wakeman on keyboard, Neil Young on guitars. He is an unfortunate-looking gentleman, Neil Young, isn't he? And Gorilla off that chocolate advert on the drums, a proper horror show from Greg in Lincoln. Ugly guitarist. Now, I don't know what this means. What about Marco Peroni? I wouldn't like to hear him farting in a biscuit tin. I don't know know what that means. I apologise, BBC listener. That's from Ross and Inverness. For the ugly band, what about the Rolling Stones?
Yeah, job done.
The Rolling Stones are, says Carl and Gaz. Ugly singers, how could you forget the gargoyle that is Sean Ryder, says Jason. Mm. Ugly guitarist. How about Pete Townsend? No, we're not having that. The Kooks as an ugly band. And the drummer from Razorlight, God, is he ugly, says Andy in Manchester. I don't know what he looks like. And you're wasting your time, Ian. The ugly band has already been done. They're called the Magic Numbers. No, that's not fair. No. The lovely Lucy Roberts has texted in. Of course we need a Gallagher in the band. Of course we need one. We'll put Noel on lead guitar. We almost have the full lineup. I think we need a bass player is what we're after. We'll try and get that after the news. So 64046, george.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. We're looking for the world's ugliest bass player. Can you help? Time now for the news.
On digital radio and online. BBC Six Music.
Gang members who covered up Rhys Jones' murder jailed. Hundreds more jobs lost. An MP rapped over son's employment.
And at Six Music News, Chaka Khan on piracy, Mike Skinner's crowd surfing blues, and Lily Allen's back on stage.
Six Music.
BBC News at 12:30. I'm Harvey Cook.
It's U2, but you know that, don't you? Because it sounds like U2, and that's all you need. You like the one, Chris, didn't you? Tapping along to that, loving that?
Yeah, I loved it. Big fan.
Big fan of U2. There we go. This is a Will from Wood Green has emailed in. When I was seven, the girl who used to babysit my brother and I swore that the bassist of Wet Wet Wet, of which she was a fan, was so ugly he was not allowed to play with them when they appeared live on any television shows.
What?
He was...
Yeah, but how about the drummer?
He was kept in the background and played on the records, but had a double to stand in when the occasion arose. That's fantastic. Derek Jameson on bass? No, hang on, Derek Jameson's the... No, he's not a bass player. Oh, but his name is close to James Jameson, the greatest of Motown's bassist. No, hang on, it doesn't work at all. Geddy Lee from Rush. Another one for Geddy Lee from Rush. Lemmy. It's between Geddy Lee and Nemmy. Lemmy, I think. We'll find out. We will have the world's ugliest band before the end of the show. Very quickly, the thing about the ugly bass player not being allowed to play with the band live. Now, that was obviously a lie. And I've told many lies in my life. Did I tell you about what I told my girlfriend that Evan Davis from Dragon's Den was blind?
Yeah.
And told her that he was blind. He's got the eyes. He's got funny eyes. And I said that he would rehearse, like, all his bits on Dragon's Den where he's walking and talking to the camera with someone holding his arm and with a bell on the camera so he knew where to look. And then when it was time to go, he could do it. He'd memorise it and do it. So my girlfriend believed that. But someone told me, and I thought this was a lie, but I think it's true, that one, and I'm going to say it, and maybe it is stupid, but then someone showed me a picture that all made it look like it was true. You know Stonehenge? It blew over once. I'm putting this out there to possibly be humiliated or possibly look like I'm a scientific god. We've got 20 minutes to show. If you've got 5 minutes on your hands and you're at home and you know about this, 64046, george.6music@bbc.co.uk, did Stonehenge ever blow over? I know it sounds stupid, but don't pull that face, Chris.
What did it used to be?
Sorry?
Before it blew over. What did it used to be before it blew over?
No, then they put it back up again.
Oh, right, OK.
At least someone has said something more stupid than I have. That makes me feel good. Oh, this poor Gary Moore. He's coming for a lot of flack in this ugly guitarist. I don't know if you got a guitar player sorted, but for the Mingers, I believe that's what the band is now called, according to Pete, Gary Moore's got to face a horse wouldn't kick. Incidentally, when you type in Moore on predictive text, it comes out as Moose. Get in there. Well done. Someone has suggested for the ugly bass player, Paul McCartney. Surely one of the most beautiful men in the world, isn't he?
No, that's for the most annoying band.
Well, yes. Well, you know, I invented the 60s. You know, the 60s was my idea, you know, to take drugs and, like, be the Beatles, you know. But that's what he does. It was my idea, you know. You know John's dead. It was my idea that he was dead. No, anyway, so you're not fans of McCartney? He's got the looks, though. It's McCartney circa 66. He's got the looks, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Not impressed by him. But I suppose that follows on from my just general...
He's the best bass player there's ever been in the world. That goes without saying. That's a fact, isn't it? That's a fact. Isn't it? Oh, no! What, you lot?
He started.
He's the bass... All right, well, listen, by coincidence, it's Album of the Day coming up, which is in my top... I would say, for a while, it was my number one album. I put it in my top three albums of all time. Easily the best Beatles album, for no one, right, is the song from The Revolver. This reminds me of being in love when I was 15, and this girl having no interest in me whatsoever. I remember looking out my bedroom window, listening to this, feeling miserable as sin. I did feel as miserable as sin. Damn you girls, when I was 15. The bass playing on this is going to be phenomenal. Listen to this, you Muppets, and learn, OK?
BBC Six Music.
Album of the Day.
Now, Chris, that's one of the most beautiful songs ever. This is a very slight melodic bass going on there. Gorgeous French horn. You can't tell me you didn't like that.
I really enjoyed it.
She made me sick.
Six Music.
Saturday morning from 9.
BBC Six Music. Ian Lee.
I used to wake up in the morning. Pictures of me.
We'd all agree the Who are good, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Claire, you did say, oh, I've got to play that Bloomin' Who track, I can't take it out. you're not a fan. The Who? We were having a big argument during Snow Patrol as to whether we thought Snow Patrol were good or cack. I must admit, I'm not a huge Snow Patrol fan. I find them a little bit bland, insipid and soulless. But Chris, on the other hand, you love them.
Yeah, well, we can't all be wise and correct.
That's right, Chris. You can't always be wise and correct. You've come in under a lot of flack today. Well done for taking it like a good sport.
Thank you.
But I am going to give you a copy of Revolver to take home the other day, to take home with you and listen to it as your musical education. I do feel a little bit guilty that I shamed you, not only in front of the Eagles of Death Metal, but all the 15 or 20 screaming girls that... A lot of girls turned up today.
Yeah.
Not yesterday. Was it Delta Spirit yesterday?
It was Delta Spirit.
Not many girls, a few. Today, they're all there. They're all just looking... Oh, my God, yeah. So dreamy. I want to kiss them and do... Anyway, they wouldn't have done that to this band we've got here, the Mingers. We've got the full lineup of the ugly band. Here we have, on drums, Stuart Cable from the Stereophonics. Bass guitar, it's Lemmy, of course. Strange-looking man. Rhythm guitar, Dave Hill from Slade. Lead guitar, Noel Gallagher. Backing vocals, Lady Gaga and Mucha. And the singer, it's Shane McGowan. Fantastic. It would sound cacophonous. It would look horrendous. There would be no point in that. Am I back? I'm back tomorrow, aren't I? Yes.
Yep.
Oh, hang on a second. Hang on 1 second. The last text. Stop the text. Stop the music.
Oh.
I mentioned Stonehenge being blown over. A text has literally just come in. Stonehenge had fallen down over hundreds of years and was restored in 1958. You may have seen a pre-restoration photo from William in Belfast. I've seen a photo of Stonehenge on the floor. Ladies and gentlemen, I am correct. Stonehenge has fallen over. That's it. I've not said what's happening on the Moan Show. Do we know what's happening on the Moan Show?
Jason Solomons is coming on.
Jason Solomons
films.
To talk about movies. We all love movies.
Oh, that was films. I thought that was just sun.
She acted out with
the
hands.
Let's play charades.
Well done. Okay, well, listen, Nimona's coming up next with someone talking about films, and it'll be excellent. I should be listening on the way home because I have a portable DAB radio, dear listener, and I'm off to see the sights of London. I'll just play a record and shut up. I was trying to find a smooth link into it, and I couldn't, so I'll just do that. And then press that. Lovely.
Beautiful.